Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Salieri Report. This is Catherine Austin Fitz, and thanks to the incredible generosity of Thomas Meyer and his extended clan, I'm sitting in the middle of the Jungfrau, looking at the most beautiful Alps you can possibly imagine, and a snowman right in front of me.
Absolutely. It's just a little bit clouded, but that will pass.
It's so...
Eiger, Mönch, Jungfrau. This is the trinity of mountains.
Yeah. And Jungfrau means...
A virgin.
Virgin.
Yeah.
The maiden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how the names came about, but that's... Well, and the Eiger is the famous place where people climb up, you know, almost vertical.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, we're here to discuss Ahriman, who seems to be everywhere right now. So let's just begin by introducing... I do want to say we've done a series of discussions with you, one on the nature of evil. So we dipped into Ahriman in the nature of evil, and we'll put a link to that in this. But so why don't we just start with you teaching us, who is Ahriman?
Well, he's one of the spiritual beings that enter evolution to play their part. And he has two neighboring beings of great importance. One is called Lucifer, and the other one is called the Christ. And this is a trinity of beings that are of greatest importance, especially, of course, the Christ. Now, as we know through spiritual science of Steiner's, they all pass through one incarnation, physical. And the important thing is, Lucifer had an incarnation in the flesh, I'm quoting now, and we had an incarnation of Christ in the flesh, but before only a part of the third millennium of the post-Christian era has elapsed, there will be in the West an actual incarnation of Ahriman, Ahriman in the flesh. Humanity on Earth cannot escape this incarnation of Ahriman. It is inevitable. But what matters is that people find the right approach and attitude towards it. So the Ahrimanic being is one of the three, which is especially important in the presence through his incarnation, in which he will try to get as much as he can for his Ahrimanic aims. And we have to be conscious of that, because these aims are not precisely our aims.
So let me ask a couple of questions. Was Ahriman ever discussed or introduced before Steiner? So is this Steiner's introduction?
I think you find references in the Apocalypse and in the Bible. Mm-hmm. If you have certain versions, you have a difference between what in the Bible is called Diabolos, that's the devil, and what is called Satan. So the...
So there are two.
The awareness of the two was there.
Right.
But it faded away. The church made it all in one figure, the devil.
They like simple.
Yeah.
Yeah, they like oversimplification.
It was there.
So it's very interesting. In one of the lectures, one book that you've given me is The Incarnation of Ahriman. Steiner talks about, in one of the lectures, the difference between this dualistic concept versus the three.
Yeah.
And what a difference it makes. So tell us about who Ahriman is and how Ahriman operates in our world.
Well, he's the master of the intellect. Intellect without feeling, cold intellect, mathematical, computer intellect, very cunning. And he is also the master of deceit, using facts to deceive people. And not to get one-sided, just to make that clear from the beginning, as Steiner said in the quote, this is inevitable. So he belongs to the plan of the cosmic guidance, if you like. We can learn from him. We can learn from him to be tough, exact, thorough, but we should not take over his one-sidedness in this. But if you allow, I would like to make now even, you find that in this wonderful book. It's called The Incarnation of Ahriman, The Embodiment of Evil on Earth by Rudolf Steiner Press. It's still available, I think. And I was just quoting from the lecture of 1st of November 1919, which is very concise. There will be in the West an actual incarnation of Ahriman before only a part of the third millennium of the post-Christian era has elapsed. That's our time.
Right.
And I think the signs. Now, he gives a series of things that prepare his way, and they have all been fulfilled. Belief in statistic, materialistic science, materialistic soulless cosmology, that we think if we see stars, this is only gas up there or something. Yes,
right.
And this has to be overcome. Then the belief in the party system, mm-hmm. It's Ahrimanic. It has to come to an absurdity that everyone can see, especially if you look at the absurdities in the United States, but elsewhere. And a number of things he gives as indications which show it has all been prepared. There is no doubt that we have now the era. And he wants actually to be the master of the world. But that has to be prevented by intelligent human beings. He wants more than he is allowed to do. But this depends on our interaction.
Right.
We have to have the concept of this being first. And you can find that in spiritual science without great problems.
So let me bring up several sort of insights on Ahriman. I find that digital technology is very supportive of things that Ahriman is doing.
Absolutely.
Because it enables the mathematic, the intellectual, the without empathy, the cold,
yeah.
But it's fantastic for deceiving.
Yeah, totally agree.
Right. And if you look at what's happened with digital, you know, I'm constantly saying digital systems have no integrity. That's because they're absolutely being ruled by Ahriman. And if you look at who's designing and running the AI, it's unbelievably Ahrimanic.
Absolutely.
And we had one tech entrepreneur who normally I wouldn't listen to, but he said something I absolutely agreed with. He said, you know, the danger of AI is it will permit demonic forces or interdimensional forces through. And I've seen that. I've seen where these systems will allow interdimensional intelligence to literally function and act in the material world.
Yeah.
And it's a huge danger. And because most people who work with these systems have no concept of spiritual beings or spiritual beings moving through these systems, they can't, you know,
they can't
protect
it.
Against something you can't even fathom.
They
exists.
Can't think it.
Right.
Because they're trained to only think the material. And we have a natural science, but we don't have a full acceptance of a spiritual science. We need spiritual concepts for that. Everybody could do that, but people are not used to it. They are also too lazy, I think. And I fully agree what you said. And I would like to add, we haven't done that so far, I think. Ahriman has his helpers. And one of the helpers is right in the human being itself. And if the human being consists of spirit, soul, and body, we have now to look a little while at the bodily reality. And here spiritual science exposes a tremendous truth of our time, namely, before birth of every individual, shortly, a being enters which is called the double in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the physical body and it goes away shortly before death. It cannot endure death. What does this being do? One aspect is it causes all organic illnesses that come spontaneously from within itself. Not like accidents, cancer, or whatever. It is involved in the death-bringing illnesses, which...
Is it the destruction of the immune system?
Yeah, yeah, it's part of it. And in another way, it is, even in children who can find that, it is the force that says no to everything, negating force. And here I would like to introduce or remember our readers of a great fairy tale by the Grimms, Rumpelstilzchen. I read it this morning with my son again. And you know, the whole thing is, you can be helped by this double. This double has two qualities. Over-intelligent, Ahrimanic intelligence, a very strong will force, but no middle, no Gemüt, as we say in German. Gemüt, this is untranslatable, I think. And it is working through the physical of every human being. Now the question is, if the human spirit and soul sit too deeply in the physical, identify, which many people do today, that's the only reality, your physical body, then of course you're in the realm of this double. Then this double has a greater influence on you and your actions and your thoughts than may be necessary. If you have a free soul and spirit development, it doesn't affect you. I mean, you might be affected by getting ill in this sense, but it doesn't affect your psyche.
And well, if you look at different things that are happening to us physically, I call it the great poisoning. There are things that suppress your spiritual development and encourage this. You know, they almost feed the double.
Yeah.
Right.
They feed the double.
Right.
Now, the important thing, maybe that is connected. Steiner says Ahriman's incarnation will be in the West. There's no doubt for me when you put all the pieces together, this is North America, it's not South America or something. So, what has the West to do with the double? Now, there is a key lecture I would like to highlight for our listeners in St. Gallen in Switzerland. St. Gallen, where one of the great Irish monks came, Gallus, a pupil and friend of Columban. And there Steiner revealed the secret of the double connected to what he called geographical medicine. And there he makes clear that the double is especially working in the areas of the world where you have a north-south magnetic line of the Alps, like the Rocky Mountains. And that is more favorable for the double's working.
Really?
Yeah. And as to the cause of illnesses, the Europeans in ancient times went to the West to study the causes of illnesses caused by the double in the Indian population at that time. And later, people like Gallus and the church thought, we must now put a veil for the Europeans to the secret of the double. The European culture should be in development free from these influences. So they managed, and this was a great achievement, I think. They really managed that people in Europe for many centuries forgot that America is existing. The deeper reason was to study the illnesses, and Steiner makes clear the European medicine, the mystery medicine, had its origin in the knowledge from the double in the West.
One of the most popular jogging pathways is in Philadelphia is by the Schuylkill River, and when you jog down it, there's a statue for Leif Erikson, because the Scandinavians had come, I think, in 1100, 1200.
Yeah.
So they were trading and functioning and living in America.
Right.
He started, I think his first child was born in America.
Yeah.
And so there you have the, you know, all the groups on the North Sea who are trading during, you know, from Charlemagne into the Renaissance, you know, they're traveling to America. But then it's as though the door shuts and
that
everybody in Europe pretends it doesn't exist.
The Norwegians, of course. Yeah, but that's the connection as to the doubles. relevance to health or disease. The other aspect would be, how does he influence a human being's consciousness in the soul? And as I said, this is highly intellectual, highly will-orientated, and has no empathy, no feeling. Now, Steiner says in this lecture in St. Gallen, there must never be, Europe should never be geographically Americanized. And in the context, he says, the working of the double, which was naturally in the West, should not become a totally global, effective entity. But that, he says, in 1917. And today we can say exactly this has happened. So that means the working of the double is not anymore restricted to a geographical Western area, especially America, with all the materialistic, highly intelligent IT, etc. It's all over.
Right.
That was in 1917, a hope that the Europeans could stay in a way free from that, and they didn't. They are totally vassals of the West. Now, this Steiner makes a very productive, I think, example, a very useful, and says you have two types of people in the West who have the double working in themselves, either in such a way that the whole being is sucked up by this double, and then have you an individual who Steiner calls a mere sheath of the double. And this is the famous President Woodrow Wilson. This is the one type in the West. So Wilson is intelligent, he achieves a lot, co-founder of the Fed.
He introduces the Federal Reserve and the IRS.
And the IRS?
Yeah.
That's the one type. And the other type we have also in the West, I think I'd like to stress this, because some people always think, oh, they're always against the West. No, there are two layers.
Mm-hmm.
And the other layer, I call it the Emerson and the Thoreau layer, just to put two prominent figures. And what do we find with Emerson? Of course, he was living in the area where the double was also working. But his soul and spiritual development was so intensive and strong that it didn't bother him in his consciousness. He got ill, of course, but he stayed free of the influence of the double, who is the Ahrimann's helper. So we have two types in the West. And before going on, I would like to remind again to the fairy tale of Rumpelstilzchen, which gives the key. A person is being helped in his endeavor to become rich, richer, richer.
Mm-hmm.
By suddenly an appearing figure, he says, okay, I help you to do the job, but what do you give me for it? And there are three gifts. And the last one is the poor girl who was, you know, put in that situation to produce gold out of straw, had nothing to give anymore. So the little man says, well, okay, you promised me your first child. And she was so helpless and said, okay, that's long away, I don't know what happens. She said, okay. And then she became the wife of the king. And after a year, after the birth of her first child, the little man comes again and said, you promised me your first child. Don't do that to me. Don't do that to me. And at the end, the little Ahrimannic helper says, okay, if you know in 3 days my real name, you're free. She goes around with a messenger, go to the country and ask for all sorts of names. First day he comes back and said, do you know the name? And she tries this and that and that. Kaspar Balthasar, the three kings' name. Mm-hmm. And of course the little man says, no, I'm not that. And then at the end, the third day, a messenger has observed the little being dancing around the fire and saying, today I do this, tomorrow I do this, and what a great thing that nobody knows that my name is Rumpelstilzchen. The messenger brings that, and that breaks the magic ban.
One of the things you see about the Aramaic spirit is they always celebrate victory too early.
Yes, yes. But here we see also something I think is a key. Knowledge means the essence of a being. If you know the essence of a being, this being kind of have a power on you. If you know what it is, if you know what the double is, if you know what Ariman is, you have a weapon to keep him at bay, so to speak, to make use of it if you find it fit, but not be over-influenced.
So let
and
me...
it is self-destroying at the end of the fairy
yes.
tale.
Yeah? Yes, it's the Midianites killing each other.
It shows the magic of knowledge,
right.
of spiritual knowledge.
Right.
And if you know, we have talked about Rosenkreuz in the last talk, these fairy tales in Europe were in a way inspired by the Rosicrucian stream. So they bring huge truths, like about the double, in the form of a fairy tale.
Right.
And so that, I think, is a very good introduction to this. Now, we had Wilson and we had Emerson. And from that, you can go up to today. I mean, you are an American citizen, so I ask you, what other presidents after Wilson seem to be the Wilson type of president with a lot of intellect, with a lot of action, and with no middle?
Well, to me, the most Aramaic from Wilson on was Bush.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we have a line.
So George H.W. Bush was pure Aramaic.
Right.
And it was interesting, if you look at his history, he had a, I would say, an exceptionally weak intellectual history at college. And it was funny, people used to say he batted 192 or something, but still was the captain of the baseball team.
Exactly.
So he was, the remarkable thing about Bush was, in many different respects, he was an exceptionally mediocre and insecure man. But his ambition was sort of galactically Aramaic, and he was willing to do anything.
That's a good term.
Right.
Galactically Aramaic.
Right.
I totally agree. Yeah. Wasn't there even a joke book where they just put together his real true sayings that showed that he had no grammar knowledge?
No, I think you're thinking of his son.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Sorry. The senior was more, serious.
And of course, Cheney never became president, but... He ran the presidency of George W. Bush, and he was exceptionally Aramaic.
Yeah, but Bush too, of course, and his
Bush color. One was pure Aramaic.
That's also a good. He was a good example for what Skull and Bones made out of people: ruthless, cunning, lying. You know that one of the biggest lies, the lie about starting the Iraqi war, with this testimony by this woman. Ambassador's daughter from Kuwait, who was trained by Hill and Knowlton to make false things, and they worked. And it was under his era.
Right, and then they blamed her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now, by the way, the WHO, which I think it's worth mentioning, hired the same lying company for telling them how to sell the COVID-19 message.
Well, Obama changed the law so that it became legal to intentionally lie.
Yeah, okay.
So, it changed the liability law.
So that's
it's totally, when your legal construct has been re-engineered to support Aramaic games.
Yeah.
You know, because I also think of Ariman as the trickster.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, he's the trickster.
And you call him Mr. Global sometimes. I mean, or he is... Behind Mr. Global, he is the covert operations inspirer, because he has one fear, and this is the fear even of Rumpelstilchen. You should never get my name, my true name, my being. He wants to be unrecognized.
Right, secret.
Secret.
Right.
The whole secrecy thing is inspired by the Aramaic being.
Well, here's what's interesting. The more, once, they killed Forrestal, to engineer, and it's really sort of the Dulles and the Zionist groups in partnership, and they do the 47 Act, then they do the 49 Act. They kill Forrestal to get the 49 Act done, And that creates the basis of secret money, plus the World War II winnings, hidden system of finance.
Yeah.
And from then on, the Aramanic power grows because they have more and more money and more and more money and more and more money.
Yeah.
And of course, the feedback is, if what you're doing works to bring you more money and more resources, then that's a feedback loop that says, okay, it's working, grow.
Right.
And it is, it has completely depended on the secrecy and the engineering of the financial mechanisms.
Absolutely.
From the end of World War II and the 47 and 49 Act. And I think one of the reasons that transparency is so wonderful, you know, it's almost like these beings that crack and fall apart when the light turns on.
Yeah. It breaks the spell of secrecy. And that's what we need. Now, on an individual level, we have now, if we can say, the Wilson line going through the whole century up to the Bushes, who are showing individuals who are highly inspired by the Ahrimanic double, if not by Ahriman himself. He is a helper of the double. And you have these people everywhere today. But on the other hand, you have the Amazonian type and the Soro type. You have the people who started to clear up the assassination of Kennedy.
Right.
The one that I greatly appreciate, and there was a movie about it, you know him, the lawyer from, who was the first man who make a big thing about Kennedy's assassination being a conspiracy, a true conspiracy? You know the man.
Mark Lane was the first big book.
Was the first
Jim
book.
Morris was one of the first.
Okay.
First. So you had Mark Lane, Jim Morris, Fletcher Prouty added a great deal.
Yeah.
Then Oliver Stone made the movie.
Yeah.
So there have been many.
There have been many, but Stone refers especially to a man from New Orleans, a lawyer who was the...
Ah, fabulous, district attorney.
Yeah, okay.
What I will say, because we've done a series on the Kennedy assassination, and I would say the two best books have come out. David Talbot's Devil's Chessboard, to me, is the book.
Mm-hmm,
if you read one book in the Kennedy...
I know it.
Yeah, fantastic, unbelievable work of scholarship and beautiful writing. And then Unspeakable by Douglas.
Wonderful, I know it.
Yeah, and
this
then,
is great.
You know, I have to put a plug in for Peter Janney's book, Mary's Mosaic, because that is also invaluable.
But you see, for me, that shows you have the same America, the natural tendency to be devoured by the doubles working. If your soul and spirit are too lazy, if you're active and true seeking, you rise beyond the influence of this double, and then you become, you know, whistleblowers and investigators of hidden truths.
So let me say it this way. Tim Keller, who's a preacher I love, has this wonderful sermon where he talks about divine intelligence and divine wisdom, and he quotes Proverbs about how God built wisdom into the fabric of the universe. And the thing that I find interesting, because I had when you run big pots of money in Washington, it attracts the Aramanic beings, and they're always doing stupid Midianite things. You know, they don't see how to make something that's enduring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they grab too fast and they're too greedy, and so you'd always have these challenges with them. And so Keller talks about how the wisdom is built into the universe. And when you read something like David Talbot's book, what you see is the extraordinary collaborative effort of hundreds of researchers and hundreds of whistleblowers who lost their lives to produce this intelligence. And when you read the wisdom that is built into this effort of thousands, even hundreds of thousands of people, you realize, you know, you're dealing with something that's so extraordinary and so beautiful. And this is what the Aramanic impulse can't fathom, this divine wisdom.
Exactly. We could even characterize the Aramanic intelligence as extremely cunning, extremely high, but at the same time limited. There are borders. The best example is, and we started with the three figures of Lucifer, Christ, and Ahriman, mm-hmm. that when the resurrection passed, the greatest event in world history, if you like, then Ahriman was surprised because he didn't know that the higher hierarchies found a means to cooperate with him. They need him. They need the death forces. But to cooperate in such a way, use his forces, that he is not going to take it all away. And so the resurrection was a surprise. So that shows he did not know everything.
We need you for the covert operations, but you can't sit at the right hand of God.
Exactly. That's a good way of putting it.
Because you're too Ahrimanic.
Yes. But isn't it wonderful? That's why I come back to Thoreau and Emerson. By the way, Corbett has said now, you need civil disobedience in America, in a village. If all the shop owners say, sorry, but we just don't follow the measures, that would be something he trusts more than legal accusations and all these things. And I think
Sidney Powell, on an interview I just watched last night, was so funny. She said, the host said, what can we do to help? Because she's working to document and publish the election fraud. She said, I want every church in the United States, I want everyone to go to church on Sunday. She said, they can't arrest 75 million Christians.
You see? Right. Exactly.
Right.
So that's a hopeful aspect. And the second thing I think this cannot be mentioned often enough, I think. Ahriman has a limited, tremendous intelligence, but a limited one. Right. And he has also, he is the fear engender, the fear genitor. How would you say that? He produces fear.
He uses fear as one of his favorite tactics.
And it works. But we should not forget, he is himself full of a certain fear.
That's right.
He is fearful. What does he fear? He fears those people who say, who is that? What is the essence of this being? Who want to know him?
Right.
That's our strength. His fear of being, what is it called?
Caught.
Yeah. Identified. His fear of being identified is our only weapon.
Right. It's his insecurity.
Yes. And he covers it up. And if you take the tremendous fact, Steiner, according to what I know, is of course limited, only speaks once about Ahriman as being surprised in the context of a resurrection fact.
Ahriman doesn't see it coming.
A what?
Doesn't see it coming.
No.
When the wisdom in the universe, when the divine intelligence goes to work, it's too subtle, it's too broad, and he doesn't have the heart to feel
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Right.
But what was the
consequence? He doesn't feel it coming.
Now, I venture a piece of Ahrimanic psychology. If a being like that undergoes the experience of being surprised, which is certainly not a pleasant experience, it's like...
I've seen them when they get surprised.
What
They're
would be
nice.
The consequence you would draw after this? This is never going to happen to me again.
So I have to stop you, and I want you to turn around and look at what's flying by us. We have two hang gliders flying across the mountain right in front of us.
Yes.
Is that not spectacular?
Wonderful. And in front of us, we have a nice snowman, very much smiling.
That's very free and inspired.
Yeah.
I especially like that one on the right. His sail is the color of Rhine water.
By the way, as we are here in this area, we might add, this was the place, Beatenberg, where there were Irish monks around, Beatus, that's mm-hmm. the name, and where the widow of Steiner lived her last 10 years, and she edited these lectures, and she was giving the name to this lecture in St. Gallen, The Secret of the Double and Geographical Medicines. She worked on it, maybe even up here.
Uh-huh.
So we have an interesting surrounding also from the spiritual history. But coming back to the surprised Ahriman, I think a being of this kind who has to admit inwardly he didn't know, he was surprised, will say, that happens never again to myself. Now I'm the one who causes surprises with the human beings. Surprise attacks. He wants to be us shocked and surprised all the time, because that's a deep wound, if you like. And we have to make our the best of it by knowing we have only, I think we touched on that already earlier. If Ahriman is met even by a clairvoyant, he is not impressed, as long as the clairvoyant is not sure who he is confronted with. And that's not so easy. Only when he is confronted by a human being who has the will to penetrate the walls of appearances, that means something. He doesn't like that. And it's shown in one of the mystery plays we have produced in Basel. You remember the scene, maybe?
Right.
That in the minute that Benedictus, the hero of one of the mystery plays, acknowledges him, he says, oh, now it's time to go away very quickly, because his knowing me produces something which will finally destroy me. That's what he feels when we are thinking.
So I think one of the challenges of our immediate time, we have a physical body and we have an electromagnetic body. And I think the aromatic forces have figured out a lot of the science of the electromagnetic body.
Absolutely.
And how to enslave us using electromagnetics so it's invisible, we can't see it, and it's the great deceit.
Yeah.
And if you look at the... Paul Thomas is a pediatrician in Oregon who just... wonderful subscriber put us on to him, and he was just hero on the Salier Report. He did a study of his patients, of children who were not vaccinated versus lightly vaccinated versus vaccinated. And one of the things he shows is the extraordinary difference in chronic diseases and need for pharmaceutical. I would say the need for, you know, basically vaccines create permanent patients.
Yeah.
And I think that disease pharmaceutical treadmill makes a population much more obedient to the aromatic forces.
Absolutely. I totally agree. I think now we could even connect the maniac way of vaccinating the whole humanity. This is done by people who want us to believe we are physical beings, we have a body, and soul and spirit are illusions, forget about them.
Right.
And if people believe that and they are vaccinated, of course, this is an immediate stimulus for the double. So they are ruled by the doubles for the
right.
rest of their life.
Right.
So you see the connection between the double problem and the vaccination
yes.
problem. That's something. That's
right.
tremendous.
So whether it's the spray, the vaccinations, the GMO food, these are things that can change which aspects of you come forward.
Absolutely. So we need a good education. We need free spiritual life. And you sent us yesterday a document I found very, very amazing. Whatever the reasons are, who has composed it, but that we have a reference in America from the White House to a man who lived and died for the freedom of the spiritual life of that time from the politics. It's unbelievable.
Right.
It's modern.
Right.
Thomas Becket. I think everyone should read this. I read it very carefully, I must say. It's absolutely accurate. And Becket was a forerunner of a part of the threefold we're going to speak about also.
Right. And Becket, well, it's you. One of the things you talked about yesterday is Becket's role in bringing out the Magna Carta.
Yeah. Right. He was a forerunner of it. By saying the church must be free from the interests of the state.
Right.
Which were personified in Henry II, the ruler of that time.
I have a wonderful quote from The Man of All Seasons. Let me see if I can find it.
From
the Salieri. That's a wonderful movie.
I know. I loved it. Peter O'Toole.
Let's see if I can find it. Oh, actually, the one I was thinking of is Sir Thomas More. But it's from A Man for All Seasons. Let me read it to you. William Roper says, so now you give the devil the benefit of the law. And Moore says, yes. What would you do? Cut a great road through the law to get after the devil? And Roper said, yes, I'd cut down every law in England to do that. And Moore says, oh? And when the last law was down and the devil turned around on you, where would you hide, Roper? The laws all being flat. This country is planted thick with laws from coast to coast. Man's laws, not God's. And if you cut them down and you're just the man to do it, do you really think you could stand upright in the winds that would blow then? Yes, I'd give the devil the benefit of the law for my own safety's sake.
Wonderful quote. Well, Moore was in a way a follower of Beckett. He was of the same mindset and independence.
Yeah.
Great figure as well. I hope you give a reference to your readers to the speech of Trump or whoever it did. Because I think it's...
They did a good job.
It's an amazing... It's like a sign. That's what we need. We need the freedom of the spiritual life over against the political and, of course, also the economic.
Right, but when the government is closing all the churches, proclamations are great, but proclamations on freedom of religion mean nothing when the government is closing the churches.
This is the other side of it.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to bring forward several insights. Can I do it now?
Please.
Okay. So... this may be a bit tangential, but one of the things that I've dealt with my whole life is what I would call multiple personality disorder. You know somebody, you know them for a while, and then suddenly they're channeling Ahriman and they're not themselves. And they've turned into an Ahrimanic being who's not anyone you know. And then it's over for some period of time. This used to happen to me with the secretary of HUD. When I worked for Jack Kemp, he would literally be, it was like a possession.
Mm-hmm.
He would be possessed,
mm-hmm.
and then he would do things that were quite dangerous mm-hmm. for, you know, whether it was for the country or the agency, and were way outside the law. And then it would be over. It was like an eruption. It would be over, and then he would be back.
Do you remember the previous phase?
In some cases, I don't know, you know, I never had a chance to talk to him enough in detail about it, but it was like he was channeling pure evil. And I remember one time being with him when he was doing it, and I thought, you know, the only way I'm going to understand this is if I really take this in.
Mm-hmm.
But if I take this in, it's dangerous. But I thought, okay, I'll do it. And mm-hmm. I took it in, and for literally the next year or two, I had this pain right here,
mm-hmm.
right where the third chakra is, because it was so disgusting. I mean, it was really, it was pure evil. And I've always thought of that as an Ahrimanic.
That happens more often than we assume, this shift, what you call, split personalities.
But it's almost like they're channeling an interdimensional force.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like their double makes them open to this interdimensional force. And
obsessive
then it comes...
is a positive notion to understand these things. What we have to understand is what are the conditions that you have to be in order to be possessed. And I think there is always a lack of control of your own consciousness.
Right.
You lose, you are too loose, you know, you are. And I think some people today are in a way too loose even towards the spiritual sphere. So, and they don't discriminate. So everything can come in, you know. They are...
Exactly. They're not discerning. They don't...
They're not discerning.
It's... I have a wonderful author who I adore. I love his books, his writing. But in one of his books, which I wanted to recommend, in the middle of it, he recommends you walk into the middle of the road and invite the devil to come talk to you and fight with you. And I'm like... No, you know, that is unbelievably dangerous to do.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
that you
yes.
could you could get killed.
Yes.
You know, why would you do that? But
if you have some people think that's love. You have to love everything. And yes, that's fine, but if love is not backed by an understanding discrimination, it's self-suicide also.
Well, one thing I do think is that if you can heal Ahriman's wound in a way that gets him into balance with providing the productive things he does, that's very positive.
That's positive, but I'm firmly convinced That's the future. That's not the present. Because right. the present is giving
stopping him from killing us all.
Well, he's incarnated once. It's millions of years existence of this being working on the field of Earth and on us. But he has only once a chance, which is the biggest chance for him. And we can be sure he was trying to do everything right now to get his ways. And if he sees through our behavior, he doesn't get through again. It fails. Then it's the beginning of a possible redemption, healing. But I think it would be erroneous to think we can heal him right now.
Right.
I think he would even laugh about us.
Right. Well, he's got the bit in his mouth.
Yes, yes. That's a very good thing what you brought with this obsession, because I think this is millions of people who are obsessed. Do you remember the NATO general from Denmark, the last one?
No.
Rasmussen? When you looked at him, you could see he is driven by something he has no idea of.
Well, let me bring up, because I wanted to bring up the occult practices and the leadership are very serious and extensive. Mm-hmm. And it kind of separates them out. We've seen more and more coming out about occult practices. And I think it becomes like an addiction.
You mean child abuse, etc.?
Ceremonies, yeah. Inviting the okay. devil.
Yeah.
Pedophilia,
yeah,
child, yeah. You know, what a ritual, you know, murder.
But this was all prepared. You remember, even I think the rock movement prepared the souls for a total acceptance. You remember a wonderful title, great in a way, but horrible, Sympathy with the Devil. You remember that?
Right.
I like even the song, but it suggests this is a good thing. No, first you have to know before you have sympathy with something. And this was a kind of a preparation of feelings of people to embrace everything.
Well, if you look at the model that's coming from the occult, it's the transhumanism and sex and family. And, you know, and it's funny, I have one subscriber who insists that many of them, she believes, are transgendered, and it's all part of killing the family and killing.
But I mean, what is transgender else than a materialistic caricature of the fact that we go in reincarnation through all the sexes, once female, once a male, and if you don't have the concept, the living concept of reincarnation, you all want to push it into one incarnation, which is absurd and, well, unnatural. This is a sign of the lack of a large vision of reincarnation.
Well, I also think it's a belief that the body can be a machine.
Yes.
So I want to also bring up, it's the end of the year. Today is the last day. We're recording this on December 31st, the last day of the year. And at the very beginning of the year, I don't believe in prophecy or prediction. But one of the most prophetic things I've ever said in my life was on the annual wrap up last year, at the beginning of the year, I said the most important issue before us for 2020 was, what are we going to do about the Beck brothers? The Beck brothers are fictional brothers in the movie it's a TV series called Yellowstone that was movie of the year last year on the Solari Report. And the Beck brothers are total Ahriman. They're very smart, all intellect, no heart, no feeling. And they use mercenaries and covert operations and dirty tricks. They kill, mm-hmm. they mm-hmm. steal, they cheat, they, you know, they just, they poison your cattle. There's nothing they
mm-hmm.
won't do.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, in the second season of Yellowstone, the hero, played by Kevin Costner, realizes, you know, we're going to have to kill him because they've kidnapped his grandchild, they've poisoned his mm-hmm. cattle. You know, this is life or death. So he gets his son, who was a former Special Forces soldier, to kill one of them. So they have a plan, and so the son corners this guy in the toilet, and he says, you know, why do you make us do this? Because he doesn't want to kill. He doesn't like killing. He doesn't want to kill, but he has intellectually faced the fact he's got to kill this guy. And the man looks at him, and he says, no one ever fights back.
Okay.
And if you look at the history of the world, and particularly of my country, the United States, no one has fought back. So you created this juggernaut in 47 and 49, mm-hmm. financing covert operations all around the world, mm-hmm. and they've been Aramonically attacking mm-hmm. and killing and stealing mm-hmm. and raping, and
no one fight back.
And no one fights back.
Well, one who fought back paid it with his life. That was Kennedy.
Many fought back and have paid with their life. They've killed many, many people.
I know.
Right. And but now what blossomed in 2020, I didn't expect it till 21, but it came in 20. What blossomed was the Beck brothers are out of control.
Yeah.
And the question is, okay, how are we going to fight back? Because we have to fight back.
I agree.
And so how do you fight back against Ahriman?
Well, the first thing I would say, I repeat myself, of course, is to get a knowledge, a clear knowledge that these beings exist, like Lucifer, like the Christ, like the Double, that you have an understanding that this is real. That's the basis. If you don't have clear notions of these things being real, you won't be able to fight them because you push into the air somewhere.
Right. And the other thing I find is you must first cleanse them out of yourself.
Exactly.
And we are all more susceptible than we think.
Yeah.
It's amazing. One of the great things about having worked in Washington and being in charge of hundreds of billions of dollars of assets, you see how quickly people's Aramanic side takes over.
Absolutely.
They can't handle power. And it's much harder to do than you think.
I understand. I think there is a real unconscious love for Ahriman in the minute that you love power, more power, then you love Ahriman and you don't know it. And if you get that conscious, then you have the freedom to see, is that what I want? There is a lot of Ahriman religion today. People, that's their book, Mammon, that's their God. That's their reality. But I think another thing that can be done with this important question is to develop the concept that there is a white brotherhood, a Christian right brotherhood, invisible, mm-hmm. powerful, waiting for people who want to enlarge the horizon. I name as an example next to Steiner Dunlop, you know, one of my favorites, to have large impulses also morally. That means they rest and they draw their strengths from the existence of a white brotherhood, which is in the end much more powerful than
much
all
more
these
powerful.
People.
One of the great things that happened to me, and that's when I permanently became an optimist, was when I figured out the federal credit mechanism and how the money worked by place. The Aramonic model has a negative return on investment. That's why they have to keep stealing, because it destroys. It's too destructive.
Yep.
And when you look at how much wealth could be created by aligning the economy with a living model, it's fantastic. The problem is it has to be totally transparent and no one can control. It's too open. It can't be... Yep. It can't be centrally controlled.
So what you're saying amounts to, for me, to the necessity that we are make sure that we are inside, free, that we are not unconsciously ruled by these tendencies. If we are ruled, that we bring it into consciousness and say, right, no, that's not what I want. And so it's a task of self-knowledge also, which has to be done free of fearless.
So we'll talk about this in our next discussion, because we're going to talk about the threefold social order. But I was reading one lecture you gave me this weekend that was so powerful about Steiner's talking about you must keep the legal portion of society and the cultural strong and independent of the economic. The economic cannot be allowed to rule the law and the culture, which I absolutely...
Which it does today.
It does today, and it's making a huge... Yeah. It's a perfect example of how Ahriman builds things that ultimately fail.
Absolutely.
It's the stupidest, and yet it's completely ridiculously out of control. And And one of the reasons is because of the way they've engineered the profit taking between the stock market and politics. Mm-hmm. And so you have this very deceitful economy because you have control of the governmental mechanism. It's very clever, but it's very aromatic. Okay, let me just bring up one other thing, and that is we touched on it. I'm very concerned about the role AI can play, because if you look at the way algorithms are being used to engineer all sorts of process, it's exceptionally aromatic, and it's exceptionally stupid. And it does huge destruction.
You know, we could even introduce here to understand this, there is another aromatic type of being called in spiritual science Asuric. The Asuric are very powerful helpers of Ahriman. Mm-hmm. The Sorat is the most powerful Ahrimanic demon. And Sorat has to do with the impulse to annihilate all culture, to bring death to all culture all over the planet. We're pretty close now with all this lockdown idiocy at Christmas time. Snow is no chance.
Well, you know, we have a lot of fun when we look at the lockdown in America talking about, you know, it's the magic virus will kill you and get you at the restaurant, but at the big box store owned by the New York bankers next door, it's not a problem. And we had one guy who's very aromatic, his name is Sorkin, on MSNBC basically say there's science to prove that it's safe at a big box store, but it's not safe at a local restaurant or church.
Total discrepancy, yeah.
Right, right. But now, there's science to prove that.
May I ask you a question finally?
Of course.
What is your good intention or thought for next year, personally? What is your...
So here's... I'm very positive about next year. And the reason is because... I'll connect some dots of experiences we've had together this year. If you look at what happened when we saw the Neowise comet and the experience of Neowise, and then we tried to see the conjunction, but it was cloudy, but we could feel it. We could feel the experience.
We saw it with our astral bodies.
Yes. Deep clearing.
Yeah.
That's happening. Yeah. You know, and it's like the aromatic forces to take advantage of this concept of a reset. Because the cosmology is resetting, and it's resetting in a very opening, you know, it's opening all sorts of possibilities and futures. So I could feel that in the what was happening in the planets. But then when I put together the second quarter wrap up, the injection fraud, our first section is on the heroes. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, we put all the pictures in, mm-hmm. we collected all the bios. Mm-hmm. You know, we have heroes every week on the Solari Report, but when I pulled them all together and saw them together in one place, I realized the extraordinary effort of yeah. these brave, fearless, courageous people yeah. to get to the bottom of all different aspects, yeah. to share information, to collaborate. When you realize what they have collectively accomplished together, to turn the force in a whole new direction, you realize, oh my God, no wonder the leadership is frustrated, because the heroes just stopped so much evilness dead in its tracks and made such a difference.
I'm so glad you did that. And I must say, this injection fraud issue, I read it when I had a sleepless night. I was reading about 2 or 3 hours in it, especially this section with the heroes. I think it's marvelous that you did that. And it will accumulate. We will have an accumulation force. We could also say that the WEF people decided to go to Singapore is like an escape, a flight. It's a weakness. Why don't they stay here?
Yeah, well, my plan is to go right into the heart of darkness and turn it right here. Right.
Excellent. Then we need some strong torch which never extinguished. If we are at the heart of the darkness, we need some strong torch.
Yeah.
And we have that.
And looking forward to 2021, I see the cosmology breaking open possibilities. And I see so many extraordinary people breaking from the establishment.
Yeah.
And every time one of them breaks, it creates more possibilities.
Yeah.
And so I see this unbelievably positive force of immense talent in alignment with the living models and the divine intelligence. And suddenly that creates possibilities that didn't exist last year.
Absolutely. So I join in that. I see, and we have talked at another time and at a conference in summer, basically we live in a new cycle of light. The Kali Yuga is over. The light era has started, and it takes 5,000 years to culminate. And we are just happening to be in the darkest spot of the light age, that's the Ahrimanic time. Mm-hmm. But we now can see that it is not final. So more light will break in, which is the true character of our new era since 1899, the end of the Kali Yuga.
So the... You know, in 91, I came out of the Bush administration. I said, they're going to kill us all. So I went to work in Hamilton trying to find an alternative. And then I smashed into the Bushies once again. And that turned into a long war. And since that time, so 97, 98, I felt like the universe is stuck. Because so much of the talent is bought up and inside the establishment. And now for the first time, you're seeing that talent say, mm-hmm. wait a minute, this is not okay, we're leaving.
Exactly.
And so for me, this is the first moment of not because I've always been an optimist, but it's suddenly you feel like the cavalry is
We can
has
be
mounted.
Optimists and we can be rational optimists with good reasons. And we have now, we can be rational optimists. It's reasonable. It makes sense to be optimistic. It's not just a feeling. And I think that's
right.
That's where we are. When we see all these people who give up their reputation in science, like Bhakti is one.
Bhakti is the perfect example.
And you know, I had a short meeting with him. And instead of talking about the vaccination and the lockdown and all these absurdities, we talked about meditation. I just dare to tell him, I think you are meditating, aren't you? He said, yes, I am.
Yeah.
So you see, you have people who are in the world and who are in the spirit at the same time, and that gives me also a lot of hope.
Yeah.
And you work too, Catherine. I have to tell that in front of your listeners. It's incredible. It's incredible.
Well, we definitely...
Well, you have gone through hell so thoroughly that you have nothing to lose anymore.
Well, one of the things I was thinking as we were having coffee this morning is it's the last year of 2020, and neither Thomas nor I lost our state of amusement.
No.
Temporarily in moments, but yeah.
We keep it.
So it's a good new year, and we want to wish to everyone a very, very happy, prosperous, free, and inspired 2021. Any more thoughts on... wishes for the new year?
Thank you. That's it at the moment. All the best.
All the best. Thank you for joining me on the Soleri Report. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.